Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sorry.
Lonzo said the words butt breathing into my ear holes during the break, and, you know, I planned and assumed that Lonzo was going to come in here today ready to dunk on me about my South Carolina take, and that's fine. Deserved, expected. I'll argue around it later on in the show. I'm not upset about that. I am upset about the fact that by the end of this day, the phrase butt breathing will be in my Google history. That will be something that if
T's.
I died tomorrow.
Two T's and butt.
Oh, yeah, so no, for just, sure.
Yeah.
That is something that if I get hit by a bus and leave this mortal plane today, whoever is the first person to go look at my internet search history, please don't. Whoever is the first person to go look at my internet search history is going to see that the last thing that I Googled before I moved on to whatever comes after this existence was the phrase butt with two T's breathing. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you kick off an hour here on the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate rolling through and, well, actually Monday, where we overreact to the overreactions of the weekend. And we're going to get back to that coming up in a little while because we have, obviously, games one and two of the World Series in the books. Game three this evening back in Los Angeles, California, IA. We're going to talk about that. The NASCAR Final Four is set. We will get into that coming up a little bit later on in the show. The AP poll is officially dropped and out. LSU has fired Brian Kelly. Cooper Flagg looked like a real NBA player over the weekend. Cam Scataboo is done for the year, hopefully not longer. We're going to talk about that because Cam Scataboo became a unifying force for good in America. And we lost them this weekend. And I want to get into that later on in the show. It is a busy, busy, well, actually Monday. So let me tell you how you can be a part of it. Because I do want your thoughts, opinions, reactions from the weekend. 844-326-3663. First and foremost, call that number. Get on the air. I am looking for reaction from the Gamecocks fans. I am looking forward to expectations from the Clemson fans. John Blau will be joining us in a little over an hour and a half. We'll figure out how they spent the bye week and the expectations for this team heading into a contest this weekend against the Duke Blue Devils. Obviously, the rest of college football as a whole, the NFL, whatever you want to get to, 844-326-3663. You can also text that number, 844-FANFONE. That is the Hub City Spartanburgers text line. Text that number. I will read it and react to it on the air. If you are on the social media, toss me a follow at The Rob Brown Show. That is Facebook. That is Instagram. That is Twitter/X at The Rob Brown Show and interact with me there. It can be a tweet, a Facebook post, a DM, an Instagram reply, whatever you want to get to at The Rob Brown Show. give me a follow, and I will respond to your takes there. And of course, if you've got something a little more long format, you can hit me up at rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. rob.brown@thefanupstate.com if you want to shoot me an email, if you got a take that's maybe a little bit longer than a phone call or a text. That's the way to do that. All of that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to what we came here to do. That is, of course, the weekend in sports at large, as a whole. You got to know what's going on so that when you get to the office this AM, you can talk about it. Worry not, my dear friends. That is why it's 7 o'clock every morning. We do this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. This beautiful, no, it's not beautiful, it's gross outside. This ugly-ass Monday morning. Hey, listen. You go in, it's rainy, it's gross, it's nasty outside. You don't want to be at work. You avoid work, like we all do, responsible adults. But talking about sports, and this is what you'll need to know. Item number one. Your AP Top 25 poll hath dropped for week number 10, and the Ohio State Buckeyes will hang on to the number one spot in the country. Their 7-0 record has earned them 54 first place votes. However, the gap from 1-2 and 2-3 is shrinking. The Indiana Hoosiers drop a 59 points this weekend. They pick up a couple of first place votes at number two. That's where they were last week. It's where they stay this week now with 11 first place votes. They did not get the dozen because one of those first place votes went to the Texas A&M Aggies up at number three. They do get their first place vote on the season after they go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana and knock off LSU and get Brian Kelly fired. We'll come to that later on in the show. Texas A&M now has a stranglehold, baby, on number three. Alabama is going to be at number four, Georgia five, Oregon six. Those three teams do not move positions. They will hold on to spots four, five, and six. It is at number seven where we have our first move. Ole Miss up a spot after they go get an impressive and definitive win against the Oklahoma Sooners, 34-26. Georgia Tech drops down a spot. Georgia Tech now at number eight in the AP poll. The Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech has a few more days before their next contest when they take on NC State on the road. Vanderbilt slides up a spot to number nine. 7-1 now are the Vanderbilt Commodores as they knock off the Mizzou Tigers. That's a good Mizzou team. This is a quality win for Vandy. They are awarded by a slide up a spot in the polls. Now Vandy gets ready for their next road test next weekend when they go take on Texas, who needed everything they could find to slip by Mississippi State this weekend. After Vanderbilt, a two-way tie at number 10 between BYU and Miami. Both have 1,069 nice points to tie at number 10. It is then Notre Dame at number 12, as I told you after their win in week three. I still think this is a playoff team. They are climbing the rankings. They were 12 last week. They stay 12 this week. But Notre Dame inching their way towards next Tuesday's first college football playoff poll. The problem for Notre Dame, they don't really have anything left on the schedule. At BC, back home for Navy, on the road at a decent Pitt team, back home for Syracuse, and then at Stanford, they're going to have to win some games by 35, 42 plus points in order to really solidify a spot in the top 12, but they are on the way. Texas Tech will jump up one spot to number 13. The Red Raiders knocked off and blanked Oklahoma State in order to pull that off. Tennessee up three spots to number 14. How about the Virginia Cavaliers? This was a team that at ACC Media Days was largely written off. They escape North Carolina. Thought Hoodie might get his first conference win, but Virginia wins another one and move up to number 15. Louisville, another ACC squad, up three spots. Cincinnati, the Bearcats, move up four to number 17. Oklahoma, after loss numero dos, this time to Ole Miss, drops five down to 18. Mizzou, after the loss to Vandy, four spots down to number 19. The Longhorns of Texas, the aforementioned, now at 6-2. at number 20, up two spots in the poll. Michigan at 6-2 raises four spots to number 21. Last week, Houston, USC, Utah, and Memphis were all unranked. This week, Houston, USC, Utah, and Memphis are 22, 3, 4, and 5, respectively. Of course, Memphis, with a ranked win over South Florida, gets them into the poll. My group of five playoff participant, Navy, is number 26, just outside. Tulane, Washington, Iowa, South Florida, San Diego State, LSU, James Madison, North Texas, Illinois, and Pittsburgh all received at least one vote in the AP poll. South Florida, LSU, Illinois, and Arizona State are the teams dropped from the AP top 25. Let's get to item number two. A wild Sunday in NFL football. A lot of results that were expected, some very much not. Unexpected. You know, I didn't think the Saints would beat the Bucs. They beat the brakes off the Saints, did the Buccaneers 23-3. Miami gets win number two, and they do it on the road at the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, the Falcons were in kind of a weird spot in this game as Drake London was unavailable. Kirk Cousins got the start for Atlanta, so missing QB1 and wide receiver one, still getting drummed in your own crib by the 1-6 Falcons. Bad look for Atlanta. The Jets get win number one on the season, 39-38 over the Bengals. The Patriots blow out the Browns. The Eagles get right against the G-men. Of course, Cam Scataboo goes down. And I think I became team ban the tush push after this game. I'll tell you why coming up here in just a few minutes. The Ravens blow out the Bears even without Lamar Jackson. The Texans get the better of the 49ers. The Broncos smoke the Dallas Cowboys. The Colts, no surprise here, knock off the 1-7 Titans. And last night, the Steelers, 35-25 losers to the Green Bay Packers. But it was the game that took place right up the road in Charlotte, North Carolina, that was maybe one of the most interesting. No Bryce Young, big problems for the Panthers.
You go with interesting? That's the word to describe what we saw yesterday?
Mainly because we thought, even with Andy Dalton back there, the run game for Carolina should at least be able to keep Josh Allen on the sideline. Here's the thing. Josh Allen only needed to throw the ball 19. Actually, he didn't even need to throw it 19, but he completes just 12 passes, 163 yards, and a touchdown. The issue for me was the belief that Carolina's run defense, which had improved the last couple of weeks, would be able to, along with a run offense for the Panthers, at least slow down the Bills enough to make this a game. Nope. James Cook III, 19 carries, 216 yards, and a pair of touchdowns on the ground, including a 64-yarder. Through the air, Khalil Shakir, 88 yards on six catches for a touchdown. Nobody else for Buffalo had more than 30 receiving yards in this game. Andy Dalton, 16 of 24 for 175 and a pick. It was the run game that we expected to be. Hey,
who's the third string quarterback?
Does it really matter?
How bad is he?
Does it really matter?
No, no. How bad is the third string quarterback? Andy looked like he needs to retire, man. That was ugly.
I mean, I feel like we probably knew that before the season started.
I felt bad for the team because he was out there. It's indescribable how bad he looked. It was so bad.
He looked like a backup quarterback. I mean,
he looked worse than a backup quarterback. He looked like the guy that they just pulled off the street because the first three quarterbacks ahead of him all got hurt.
The Red Rifle, 16 of 24, .175 and a pick, a 70 QB rating, a QBR of 4.2, which I believe is the lowest we've seen so far this season. Rico Dowdle, 8 totes, 54 yards. Chuba Hubbard, a dozen carries for 34 yards and the lone touchdown on the day. Tedaro McMillan still showing up, 7 grabs, 99 yards. Jalen Coker back into the mix, 3 for 36. Xavier Leggett, 2 catches for 17 yards on the day. Just nothing cooking at the crib for the Carolina Panthers. Be intrigued on Friday to get Rashad Beard's thoughts on this one. I assume a lot of them will sound like beeps and whistles for the most part. Carolina blasted at the crib by the Buffalo Bills. But as we pointed out last week, and I said this to Rashad, the Bills are 8-0 coming off the bye and have scored more points coming off the bye in that time span than any other team in the NFL. They are good after a bye week. Unfortunately for Carolina, the defense of the BOA just not there. So Carolina falls to 4-4 on the season. Let's get to item number three. A couple of results for you over the weekend. We will start and in that, let me try all of that again. A couple of results for you over the weekend. We'll start in NASCAR, where William Byron hit the bumper to Ryan Blaney to steal the dub at Martinsville in the third round finale of the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. Byron made a winning move with 43 laps remaining, able to take the bottom lane away from Blaney, pushing him up the track with a tag to the left rear. The Hendrick Motorsport driver would then lead the rest of the way, would fend off Blaney on a restart with 11 left to play. Byron led a race high 304 of the 500 laps. It is his third victory this season in the number 24 Chevrolet. It was the first win in 11 races since August at Iowa for Byron, who won the regular season championship despite a six-month drought after opening the year with a second consecutive Daytona 500 victory last year. He had one top five finish in the previous eight playoff races, opened the third round with a 36th at Las Vegas Motor Speedway and a 25th at Talladega, left him in a win-or-else position to make his third consecutive championship four appearance. Delivered with his 16th career cup victory, his first in a playoff elimination race, and his third win at Martinsville. Ryan Blaney was also in a must-win situation to advance to the championship round, trying to win his third consecutive playoff race at Martinsville, came up one spot short despite qualifying 31st and leading 177 laps. Ryan Blaney said, quote, "That's just two guys going for it. I don't blame him for taking that. I would have done the same thing. I knew it was going to be tight. I tried to crowd him as much as I could. Just proud of the effort from the team." Kyle Larson captured the final championship eligible berth in the season finale with a fourth place finish, put him at 7 points ahead of Christopher Bell, who checked in seventh. Had he dropped back a spot or Bell moved up a spot, we would have had a different championship four, but it is set. It is locked in. Byron, Larson, Hamlin, Briscoe in the title round November 2nd at Phoenix Raceway, where the championship will be awarded to the driver with the best finish of the four, who are split evenly to Joe Gibbs Racing guys, to Hendrick Motorsports guys. We'll see how that plays out, along with Bell and Blaney, third place finisher Chase Elliott, and defending series champion Joey Logano were also eliminated from that race. Over in the world of baseball, the Blue Jays exploded in game number one. Barger, Varsho, Kirk all had dongs in this game. They routed the Dodgers in the opener Friday night. 11-4 was your final. In game number two, the Dodgers get it back. A 5-1 finish in favor of the Bronx Bombers, who now play in LA. You know what I'm talking about. It was Yamamoto who got the win. Another complete game. 9 innings, 4 hits, 1 run allowed. Cade 8 through 9. Kevin Gausman took to the bump for Toronto. Really not an awful night. 6.24 hits, 3 runs. Cade 6 in his effort before he turned the ball over to Varland, Hoffman, and Fisher. Varland would give up a couple of runs to create the difference for the Dodgers. Toronto could not find their way back in. That sets up this evening's game three. We are now back in Los Angeles, California, IA. This evening, we will see the 41-year-old Max Scherzer gets the ball for the Blue Jays at the crib. The Dodgers will counter with Tyler Glasnow. These two guys have been electric in their outings so far in the postseason. Now, Scherzer has not seen much action, but you go back to that game against Seattle that he appeared in, the 8-2 win that forced a game 7. In that game, Max Scherzer, 5.2 innings, gave up 3 hits and 2 runs, K'd 5 through that time. He came in as relief. He will get the nod tonight. On the flip side, Glasnow has been just overall spectacular through these playoffs. 13.2 innings pitched. He has given up a total of 7 hits, 1 run, and is K'd 8 through those innings. Not a guy who's going to get a lot of K's, but a guy that is going to have a lot of ground out balls. Game number two tonight in the World Series. First pitch, 8 p.m. on Fox. Now, when we come back, we got a lot of football that we still need to talk. We got to talk about the rest of the results in the top 25. I want to talk a little bit more about what went right for the Gamecocks that made it a game against Alabama and what I think was the one thing that kept them from finishing that game and getting a dub. We'll get to that. As we mentioned, in about an hour and 20 minutes, John Blau with the Post and Courier will tell us how Clemson spent the bye week getting ready for Duke. The NFL was wild yesterday. What the hell, Carolina Panthers? We're going to get to all of that. But when we come back, I have a question about baseball and a question about NASCAR. A question about NASCAR and a statement about baseball that leads to the same question. And even if you're not a fan of both, I think you can have input in this conversation. We'll have that conversation when we come back. I'm Rob Brown, the Grip and Lonzo on the ones and twos. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I have a question. Rob Brown is both a NASCAR fan and a baseball fan. I mean, I'm a sports fan. I like all the sports, but love NASCAR, love baseball. Yesterday afternoon, I was sitting in the Bro Cave with the wifey while she was playing her phone games. Robbie B was watching some sports. And I had the NASCAR race on. However, even as someone who genuinely likes and enjoys NASCAR, I had the NASCAR game on the like sixth screen in the Bro Cave. I had a bunch of NFL games on. I had a baseball pod that I was listening to, the video version of it, on another screen. I had NASCAR on the last screen in the Bro Cave. And it clicked about halfway through that race that this is a point in time that if you're a NASCAR fan, you should have that on the bigger screen, right? Like, I should have had that on the bigger screen. And I didn't. And it got me thinking, why? Like, why in a race that was going to determine which four racers would be competing for the season championship in Phoenix next week, why would I, somebody who likes NASCAR, have that on the small screen? And the answer for that was, outside of someone's got to win a trophy, there really isn't a lot compelling about NASCAR, unfortunately for me. There's just not. And this isn't going to, before anybody jumps the gun and thinks this is going to be another old guy, you should let him fight again take, as it has been in years gone by. It's not. The reality is, as much as I'm fine with that in NASCAR, fine with bringing back rivalries where guys are getting put into the wall if they overstep in a certain race. Hey, man, payback's coming, and it may be 2, 3, 5, 10 races from now, but payback is coming. I'm fine with that. It's not compelling to me because NASCAR's done a wonderful job of stepping back the competitiveness of racing. I'm not talking about racing to the checkered flag. I'm saying the competitiveness in terms of guys that are willing to throw their season away to try to win this one race. This is why I've said I'm in favor of going back to a championship format where week by week points are earned. We keep a season-long score running, and whoever has the most points at the end of the year wins this thing. And I think there should be big boost for wins, big boost for whatever you want to give a boost for, but like, let's get back to that. Because I think the current format has created a world where here I am watching an eliminator race. There are 8 guys competing for 4 spots, and 7 of them have a legitimate chance to move on. All of them have a chance to move on. 6 of the guys competing for the last 2 spots have the chance to move on with a win, which made the run between Blaney and William Byron. Neither one of those guys were going to get through on points in this race. It was win or your season is over. What hooked me back into the race was that down the stretch was the last 50 laps where the 2 guys that must have a win to move on are car to car into and out of every turn. And 47 left to go. William Byron tags the back left of Ryan Blaney, moves him out of the way. Blaney, we're waiting. Is he going to be able to return that tag? And no. William Byron drove a great final 47 laps, including a restart on 11 to go to grab that spot. So there was a moment of heavy competition in that race that made it compelling to me. And I started paying attention to it. But again, it came with 47 laps left to go in the final of the 8-2-4 eliminator. How do we make it more compelling? How do we make it more tense? Now, again, my solution is, let's go back to the old way of every race, an X amount of points is available. And look, it has in years gone by, the argument is, in years gone by, has created a world where you get to the last race or two of the season and we already know who the winner is. We go into the final race, sometimes the final 2 races, and somebody has such a mathematical advantage that nobody else can take the trophy from them. And I get that that makes the last last race or two less compelling. But here's the thing. I don't want to say the playoffs at large have been uncompelling, but even for a NASCAR fan like me, I haven't gone out of my way to watch them. It's more been I'm flipping YouTube TV to see which football games I want to put on which TVs in the Bro Cave, and it's like, oh yeah, that's right, NASCAR's on. And that includes last week at Talladega. In the regular season, the races at Talladega and Daytona are must-watch races for me. For some reason, a playoff race, not for some reason, football is the reason. But a race at Talladega, which is a playoff race, didn't register to me until there were like 100 laps left to go. And I'm like, oh, crap, that's right, that's on. It needs to be made more compelling. Because even if you get to a spot where the final race or two is irrelevant because the champ's already been crowned, what it does is the last 7 or 8 races that have been happening while football's on, which have been completely uncompelling in the grand scheme of things, now those races are more compelling. Because you're going, all right, this guy's got a 120-point lead. If somebody has 2 great races in them through these last 6, now all of the sudden, now it's interesting. Now it's compelling again. How do we make this interesting? Now, I had another moment like this. I've actually had 2 of them in baseball so far in this postseason. And I want to be very clear. Last year's postseason in Major League Baseball was as electric of a postseason as I can remember in sports, like at large. Last season's baseball postseason, as a baseball fan, was as good of a postseason in any sport as I can remember. This year's has been very good. Probably not as compelling as last year's, but still very good. But there were 2 spots in this postseason for Major League Baseball that kind of drove me a little bit crazy. Those two spots were in Game 7 of the ALCS between Seattle and Toronto, and in Game 2 of the World Series between LA and Toronto in Toronto. I want to start with what I'm about to say by saying something personal and sentimental, because I need it to set up what I'm about to say, lest I be called a heartless b-hole. I lost my father to cancer when I was 25 years old. Cancer awareness, research, massively important to me. It is a cause that I donate money to annually. It is a cause that I donate time to when given the opportunity. Cancer research, prevention, development of, fingers crossed, one day a cure. Massively important to me. It is probably the numero uno philanthropy in my life. Now, game two. We are in the, bottom five. We get to the end. And we do the MasterCard Stand Up to Cancer, which is, it's a baseball initiative that goes on around the year. Cool, fine, great. This is where I might sound heartless. That's not the spot for that, man. Do that pregame. Because what you have is a game that is still very much in the air. And what makes baseball, college and pro to me, for me subjectively, what makes baseball the best postseason in sport is that you have so many games and every one of them has an opportunity to create tension that is so thick and so palpable that fans of not the teams playing can be sucked into it. And that was a moment we had between the Dodgers and the Jays, and then we have this moment. And I don't even know if I'd be against the moment if it was like 30 seconds, we're in, we're out, except for they just have to keep reminding us that this is sponsored by MasterCard, 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 MasterCard. And then when we get to the end of Stand Up to Cancer, and even that, I think I'd be like, all right, like, feels like a bad time to put this. There's no halftime show in baseball. Not a great time for this. Then after that MasterCard Stand Up to Cancer moment is done, we get, now let's go out to right field for a live performance from the Jonas Brothers. So in a moment, five innings into a baseball game, a championship, a World Series, a game that is very tense, a game where the home team already has a one-game lead, but they're in a hole. The pitcher for the LA Dodgers is now five innings deep. His stuff's starting to get a little out of control. This is the moment that the Jays should be able to strike. In that moment, when the tension of this baseball game should be astronomically high, in that moment, at that spot, we get a live performance of 3 minutes from the Jonas Brothers. Really? Baseball? Like, I get it. At the end of the day, we are the product. Not baseball. We all say the product, the product. We're not, the baseball's not the product. We're the product. Baseball's sale is not baseball to us. Baseball does everything in its power to get us watching. Why? So that they can sell our eyeballs to all the sponsors that pay a bazillion dollars to have their commercials play in the World Series. I get it. There was also Game 6 of the ALCS. Very similar situation. The stadium is packed. It is loud. It is vibing. The Blue Jays are a few outs away from going to the World Series for the first time since 1993. Here comes George Springer, known for his postseason heroics, stepping up to the dish. Big moment in baseball. And what did they do? They cut to a commercial with the audio that is over the top of the game itself. And in a moment where George Springer is standing at the dish and the stadium is swelling in emotion and anxiety, you don't get the audio of that. You don't get to hear it. And much like the Jonas Brothers right this moment, they ruin a good thing unnecessarily. It doesn't need to be. The Jonas Brothers don't need to be playing right now. There's no need. They don't add anything to the show. Yet here they are. And what are they doing? They're taking away from what you've tuned in to listen to. Just like they took away from the most tense moment of the postseason so far in that inning when I'm waiting for the Dodgers and the Jays to get back out there and see if we can cut this tension with a friggin' knife. Instead, we got to go out to right field and listen to the Jonas Brothers. And even if the Jonas Brothers did have a place to play a live song in sports, Do you think the baseball demographic is big on the Jonas Brothers? Do you think the baseball demo made up of dudes like me is like, hell yeah, brother. I'm glad that we're going to take 2.5 minutes out of what has been an incredible back and forth baseball game that has so much tension in the air that I can float on top of it. I'm glad we're taking 2.5 minutes to go out to right field and listen to the damn Jonas Brothers. Baseball, what are we doing? How did you, when I'm sitting here screaming at NASCAR, you guys need to find a way to make your sport more compelling so that somebody that is like me and wants to watch it and wants to bring people into it has a better way of doing that. In a moment where baseball is the most compelling that it has been all season long, they decide the right way to capitalize on that is to play a 2.5 minute Jonas Brothers concert. Who the hell are making these decisions in sports? Who are these suits? Because you're making things worse, not better. All right, enjoy like 10 more seconds of the Jonas Brothers. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
All right, before I move on to something else, I want to clarify something from the last segment. My complaint was not that the Jonas Brothers played. You could have put anybody in that spot. Lonzo asked me during the break, he's like, would you have had the same gas if it was Chris Stapleton? I love Chris Stapleton. He's one of my favorite performing artists of today.
You did say an artist that guys like me would listen to.
Yeah.
So that's why that made me think that you had someone in mind.
Yeah, and that's fair because I did put it that way. Now, it would not have been different for me had it been an artist that I actually liked, had it been Stapleton or somebody.
So you're saying if Creed came out there,
I'd have had the same guess this morning. Listen, I love Creed. There's never a bad time for a Creed song, but yes, there is. And it's that moment. It's when the game is tense. And I came up with the example of that would be for football. Because Tiger Power Rachel just texted the show and said, I hate all the mini concerts in the middle of sporting events except the Super Bowl. That's not why I'm watching. Except for, there's a defined break in the game at the Super Bowl, right? Like, when, you know, Bad Bunny comes out to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl, you're not going to kill the momentum of one team or the other for that concert. Like, that's in a defined break that has a length of time to it. There is a defined break between innings. But the defined break lasts as long as it takes for one team to get off the field, the other team to get on it, the pitcher to throw 5 or 7 warm-up pitches, and then we're off. Like, It's a minute and a half, 2 minutes, top end, before we play the next round of baseball. And even if you were going to do a concert, why would you stack the two-minute sentimental stand-up-to-cancer moment there and then give us a two-and-a-half-minute Jonas Brothers concert? That was like an eight-minute break between innings at a point where the Jays were trying to rally to climb back into a game that, had they gone and won, take a 2-0 lead back to L.A., and that changes the entire series. Now it's best of five, and the Dodgers have home field advantage through the rest of the run. So it's a different game. It's a different world. It's a defined break with length to it in football versus in baseball, where it's a break, but it is a very short break that is just about turning the field over, and then we're off to the next one. So it doesn't matter if it was the Jonas Brothers or anybody else. The only point I was making about that is, not only did you give me a 2.5 minute break at a spot where it is completely inappropriate for a baseball game, but you gave me 2.5 minute break and a band that I couldn't care less about, right? The example there was, if the Chiefs had the ball down 4, 2.5 minutes left to play, and a drive was on, and they're at the 40 going in, and they get a first down, and the ref stops the whistle, and they go, all right, Travis Kelce with a first down catch, knocked out of bounds there on the 42-yard line going in. Chiefs have to score a touchdown now, 2.5 minutes left to play. Now, let's listen for 2.5 minutes as Sabrina Carpenter sings Espresso. I like Sabrina Carpenter. I like Espresso. It's catchy, and it's a vibe. Not the time. Not the time. Doesn't matter the artist. Not the time. All right, so there's that. Let me get on to something else that came out of the football weekend. Since apparently the 7 o'clock hour is just Rob complains about things, let me add one more to the pile. I think I came around yesterday. I think I'm anti-tush push now. I think I'm on team ban the tush push now. And let me start by saying it has zero, not a nothing, nine to do with the Philadelphia Eagles. No, it has nothing to do with the Eagles. The Eagles found something, and I have been, for the duration of this conversation, team, if you don't like it, stop it, right? Like, that's been the take. If you don't like it, stop it. But here's the thing. Yesterday, the New York Giants stopped it, and then they didn't get the credit for stopping it. If this play can't be officiated, which is now, after what I saw yesterday in this game, my belief. It can't be officiated. Here's why. If you didn't see the play, it's third down. The Eagles are a yard shy, and as they are wont to do, they line up in the tush push. Jalen Hurts, as he does in the tush push, takes the snap, goes left off the guard. The two backs behind him lift him up by the pants and carry him across the first down line. Well, as the tush push is ongoing, Jalen Hurts is effectively stonewalled by the New York Giants at the line to gain. It's going to be very clear. It's going to be very close. And so Jalen Hurts, as he is moving forward, reaches the ball out to try to get it across the first down marker. Well, as he does, Kayvon Thibodeau reaches in, gets a mitt on the outstretched ball, and pulls it away from Jalen Hurts. The ball then rolls on the ground outside of the scrum. It is picked up by the Giants in what should have been a scoop and score six the other way in a game that, at that point in time, the Giants were very much alive in. After the ball is out, and when I say after the ball is out, I need you to know, when I saw this play yesterday, I actually put it on Twitter at the Rob Brown Show. When this play happened, because I went, ain't no way, that's a fumble, scoop and score, right? I went back and I took that video and I put it into a video editing software that allows me to see both the video and the wave file, the audio file. It lets me see in visual form spikes in the audio up and down as the sound is recorded and played back. And I was looking for one particular spike, and that, of course, is the whistle. The whistle. Play to the whistle. It's what you hear every coach everywhere say every time. Play to the whistle. I went to go see where is the whistle blown to signal the play dead, and where is the ball when the whistle is blown. And I put this on Twitter yesterday. When the whistle is blown to signal that the ball is dead, the ball is out of Jalen Hurts' hands And I went and I sat there and I did trigonometry to figure out where the ball was. That's not true. I just looked at it and eyeballed
sine,
it. But,
cosine, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The ball was no less than 3 yards away from Jalen Hurts when the whistle was blown. And it was in the midst of a Giants player on the ground when the whistle got blown. So Jalen Hurts gets to the line, is moving forward. And last I checked, a play being ruled down by loss of momentum, the player must not have momentum. Jalen Hurts was clearly moving forward. The ball gets stripped. The ball hits the ground. The ball rolls 3 yards, is picked up by a Giants defender, and then as the Giants are scooping it to take it 6 the other way, all of a sudden you hear the whistle and the line judge running in signaling that the play was already dead. I think that that was bad. Now, if you want to say in a spot, Jalen Hurts is down by loss of forward momentum, I'm fine with that. But the whistle's got to get blown. And it's got to be signaled immediately. And instead, what I saw was Jalen Hurts, who was absolutely still moving forward, stretch the ball out. That's taking a big risk. To have it pulled out of his hand, recovered by the Giants, and then. So here's what we know so far. Just based on this year. The Eagles in the tush push are, number one, allowed to line up in the neutral zone. We have seen camera angle after camera angle that prove that the Eagles line up ahead of the ball in the line of scrimmage on the tush push, and it is not called. Number two, we know via plenty of plays I can go back and pull for you, the Eagles false start on the tush push multiple times. This is not a hater's perspective. This is somebody with 2 working eyes and a TV. The Eagles are allowed to false start on the tush push repeatedly. So what we have now is a play where the Eagles are, number one, allowed to line up offsides. Number two, allowed to false start. And now when a team figured out a way to take the ball away from the Eagles on the tush push, now the referees can retroactively decide, no, actually, he was down 10 minutes ago. He was down way back there. We didn't blow the whistle when the ball was stripped. We didn't blow the whistle when the ball was rolling on the ground. We didn't blow the whistle when the Giants recovered it. We picked it up, and we blew the whistle when the Giants clearly were about to score. And then we said, no, down by forward momentum way back there. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He was very much clearly still moving forward at that point. And then they come in and they retroactively blow the play dead and give the ball back to Philadelphia. Look, if the play was well officiated, and I get that it's hard to do. I understand it. Trust me. I understand it's hard to do. I refereed like 2 seasons of high school football. Clearly, I'm qualified. All right? Football's a hard game to officiate.
You look like a high school referee.
So. Oh, totally. Yeah. I did too. Yeah. I did too. It's a hard game to officiate. It's fast. Players clump up. You can't really see everything from every angle. You've got to trust that in high school, I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 guys on the field in high school. 1 in the front, 1 in the back, 2 on the sides, and a white cap. In the NFL, there's like 6, 7 guys on the football field any given snap. You have to trust that everybody combined can see everything happening on the football field, and the guy who has the best view is the guy who gets to make the call about what did or did not happen. If we have a play where the Eagles are allowed to line up offsides, as they have and it's been proven, where they are allowed to false start, as they have and it is proven, and now the referee just decides when he wants to end the play. Not that the play is ended. And again, I get it. One of the robo-ump things that can't be put into place, I disagree with this, but like I get the argument, is when do you rule a play dead based on loss of forward momentum? When do we rule the play dead based on a loss of forward momentum? In like open field tackles, sometimes that's easier than other times. In a scrum, in a QB sneak right up front, that can be hard to do. I get it because it's hard to see where the ball carrier is when he's inside of a mass of big-ass offensive linemen. I get it. But Jalen Hurts wasn't in the scrum. He was crowd surfing it like it was a Fish concert in 2003. You can see him. He is on top of the pile because his running backs lift him up by his ass and carry him forward. That is the play. It is obvious he's moving forward. So can line up off sides, can false start, and now when a defense said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Instead of everybody just trying to win the tug of war at the top, we're going to send a guy off the right-hand side where Jalen Hurts goes every time. And if the ball stretches out, punch it. Punch the ball. Get the ball. See ball, get ball. And they see ball, get ball. And then the ref goes, no, actually, no, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't believe that the game's rigged for Philly at all. I just believe that they have not figured out a way to officiate this. And on a play where the officiating should have been clear, that should have been the easiest the tush push has ever been to officiate. Jalen did not disappear into the pile. He was on top of it, crowd surfing. And it was clear he was moving forward, and it was clear the ball was out, and it was clear the ball was stripped. It was clear the ball was recovered. It was clearly a Giants ball. It was the most obvious officiating of the tush push since the tush push became a phenomenon, and they got it wrong. And when you stack that onto, they get offsides wrong on it more than they don't. They get false starts wrong more than they don't. Now when they don't call offsides and false start and a team figured out how to take it away, now all of the sudden the official goes, actually, no, this is the biggest well actually on well actually Monday. The referee says, well, actually, no, he was down. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. I called it in real time. He was still moving. Forget the 99 replays they showed. Clearly still moving. I switched in a single play from the guy who has been screaming for a while, hey, man, if you don't like the tush push, find a way to stop the tush push. Two, you can't stop it. It cannot be stopped. There is no way to stop this. Because when a team finally did stop it, the referee said, actually, no, you didn't. I'm at the point now where I think we have to ban the tush push, and I hate it. All right, we'll talk more about this later on. We'll talk a lot of college football. When we come back, John Blau joins us in about 50 minutes to talk some Clemson football, all that and more after the tush push of sports flashes. It's unstoppable from Lonzo.
Okay. The Carolina Panthers' win streak ended in a brutal fashion, a 40-9 loss to the Bills. Andy Dalton replaced the injured Bryce Young, going 15-24 for 175 yards and one pick. Josh Allen attempted just 19 passes, completed a dozen for 163 yards and one touchdown. The day belonged to James Cook, though, who ran 19 times for 216 yards and two touchdowns in the win. The new AP poll is out, and Ohio State stays at number one, Indiana's number two, Texas A&M stays at three, Alabama, Georgia, and Oregon all remain in spots four through six, followed by Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, and Vanderbilt at 7-9, BYU and Miami are tied at 10, one spot ahead of Notre Dame. LSU has fired head coach Brian Kelly, electing to pay him his $54 million in buyout money that Tigers lost to Texas A&M on Saturday, LSU's third loss this season. It's not good.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.